fellowship of the Holy Spirit and His revealing of the truth is where we really need to focus. It's where you and I, we cannot know Jesus Christ or understand Him without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer in Jesus' name. But you must be born again. If you've been born again, if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, that confession of faith and believe Jesus is God, you are born again. And then what you believe as far as truth from there is going to determine your walk with God. It's going to determine your walk with God. I want to go back. I mentioned last week, it's interesting that eternal life in the Bible describes as knowing God in a relationship. Let's read that again, John 17:3. John 17:3, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. Talking about the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Starting out that first through the Holy Spirit, there's only one true God. You cannot find peace or truth or salvation or eternal life through Buddha. You can't find Him through Allah. You can only find Him through Jesus Christ. We're in a day and age where if you say that in the pulpit, they want to shut you down now. You can't be on social media. If I say the truth, there is not a tolerance amongst many people for truth. And so what we need now is we need a baptism in truth to happen in our lives. The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth. You can't find it in Buddha. You can't find it in any other form, peace or God's peace, the indwelling Holy Spirit, but set through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man and no woman cometh to the Father but through me. It's very specific. It's to the point now where people will say, hey, you can't say that. You're a hater. You're intolerant or whatever. But we have to speak the truth in love. See, if anything, I think where God is leading His church is to walk in the truth, to declare the truth. Do not be ashamed of the truth. And there'll be people that are going to say, just like the first century church, they said, you guys hate people. They would say to the disciples, and you hate people. No, it's not. It's we don't hate people. But we're against you guys making slaves of other people and forcing them into sexual immorality, forcing them into homosexuality and pedophilia. We're against that. That's wicked. That's sinful. God came to destroy the works of the enemy. And there was people who love darkness. People who love darkness will try to raise their voice to be louder than yours so they don't have to hear their own conscience. Romans 1 is clear about that. But it doesn't change the truth. Now, people will come and will say, well, yeah, I struggle with this. I'm not talking about people. We all struggle with things in our life. We still live in this flesh, amen? We're still renewing our mind in some areas. So I'm not saying if you struggle that there's something wrong with you. Man, we need God's grace and His power and His Spirit in all of our struggles. We need one another in all of our struggles, amen? Only one way, only one God. Let me just say this, point number one, and please hear me out through all 6 points, if I can get there. Knowing the Lord isn't always an outward showing. Can manifest that way. I remember years ago, I don't know if it was 10 years ago, Gene, or 11 years ago, but I remember we're having a powerful service and worship, and all of a sudden this lady in the back starts wailing. I don't know what God was doing in her heart, but we didn't say, we didn't stop everything and shut her down. God was moving in an outward manifestation as this gal began to wail. I don't know what God did in her life, but I know that for the next 8 or 9, 10 years, she served in this church. Her and her husband a few years ago moved away, but God did something powerful that came out in a manifestation. I'm not saying that an outward manifestation that it has to, you know, that it, there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying that the Spirit of God right now could be moving in your heart and nobody else do it, and it could be an explosion going on inside of you. An explosion of truth going on inside you. God could be taking truth and doing something in your heart that'll change you. You've heard me say it, I don't know how many times all of a sudden situation will arise. And all of a sudden, I don't respond like I used to. And I would say, when did that change? And I have no idea. Something about truth in my heart changed that. I didn't respond all of a sudden the same. God had delivered me and set me free, and I didn't even know it. A lot of my freedom was just realizing the truth. Let me get back to those 6 points in a poem. Can we put rewind? So I say, knowing the Lord isn't always, it's not about an outward manifestation. And I said it can manifest that way. Matthew 7, 22 and 23, listen to this scripture. Many will say to me on that day, this shocks me. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Nothing wrong with prophecy. And in your name cast out demons. Boy, we need to be casting out devils when they come our way. And in your name perform many miracles. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of miracles. But then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness, or in the King James it says iniquity. That iniquity means bent, crooked, distorted. It also means the consequences of hurting others. You that have been hurt by others, that's called iniquity. We're talking about an individual here that was working in the power of God but hadn't been born again. They were still bent, crooked, liars. Distorting the truth, but I don't know why God allows this to happen, but there's something about the name of Jesus that somebody that could even not be walking with God, they declare the name of Jesus, and somebody on the other end says, I believe that, and receive a miracle in their life, or be set free, or God does something powerful, because it's in the name of Jesus that demons have to flee. Meanwhile, this person here doesn't know the Lord at all. The Lord doesn't know them, but yet there's an outward manifestation. Lord, brothers and sisters, the first thing is the manifestation of truth within our heart, amen? The manifestation of being born again, walking in the truth, walking in the light as he is in the light. Do you love his light today? Are you hanging in there? Number one, knowing the Lord isn't about a outward manifestation, although I'm not opposed to them. Number two, the Holy Spirit Holy Spirit's work takes place within. Regardless of what's going on outside of you, the Holy Spirit's work is taking place within you. This fellowship of the Holy Spirit, amen, this is it's not the outer appearance that determines the work of the Spirit, by the way. Holiness isn't on the outside. What I wear, the length of my hair, I can still wish and dream. I can still pray for this, right? That would be truly a creative miracle. So sometimes understand that what I wear, how I look, has nothing to do with godliness. Now, understand there's when God changes our lives, modesty, does that make sense? How we dress, not dressing like the world in certain, is that right? But what I wear on the outside has nothing to what God pleasing of me, right? Whether I wear a tie or I wear a cowboy hat or I'm a biker. When I was at the Andrew Womack, I was seeing this group of bikers for Jesus. I said it was awesome. And you know, at the Andrew Womack, I saw cowboys. Awesome, right? And just normal dudes like me. You're like, well, I don't know what he is. But this tie, right? I just wore it today to wave to you in the back. But you know this. Hey, am I still holy? Am I still anointed when I take that tie off? Well, what if I take this jacket off? Am I still got his anointing on my life? Amen? What if I took this shirt off? You guys, I learned a long time ago. I was mowing the lawn outside and was about 40 with my shirt off. My wife said, you know, you may not want to do that anymore. I see how much that hurt me, hon. I still remember that. Every time I go to mow the lawn, I think, what are the good old days? So I can't even take this shirt off, can I? Woo, I've been sweating. My point is, it's not what you're wearing that is righteousness. His righteousness is by his blood on the inside. Amen. Woo. I feel born again. Wow. Now, what's this shirt say, by the way? No. That's not what it says. David, what's this say?
Hashtag pray for Brandon. Yeah. Romans 12:14.
Hey. Amen. Compliments of Richie and Chamonix who made this shirt for me. Thank you. They've got a bunch of those they can make, by the way. It's because when I think of that, I just think of where that came from. F. Brandon. What? Well, that's where mine. Yeah. But when I see, that's what I think of. But I want it to be, hey, let's pray for Brandon. I don't want to have an attitude of F. Brandon. Oh, yeah. Amen. Let's go, Brandon. I get it, but I won't step back from it. I want to have a heart attitude of praying for them and others that'll come out of darkness, that they'll have an opportunity. Do I agree with the insanity? No, it's called lies. And nowadays, whether it be somebody on a news network or whatever, they can just lie and it doesn't matter. Now, we got to be willing to speak the truth, walk in the truth, but we got to know what truth is. You know, truth is in the Word of God first and foremost. This is your truth. This is the first place we get our truth. This is what changes our lives. This is where we get truth. The Word of God, my electronic Bible. This is where we get truth. Where do you find truth? Amen. What's precious in your life? I'm talking to myself as well. That's the, you know, one thing I realized, and well, let me get, because I got points and I can get off. The Holy Spirit work takes place within you, amen. Holiness isn't on the outside. I'm still just as holy in this as I was in that tie and sports coat, amen. Some people, I don't know your background, you're taught that, hey, you've got to look a certain way to please God. That's just not true. That's religion. So I was so bound up in religion. Remember I told you when my wife wanted to visit this church and my niece would tell me to come visit this church, and I said to her, I'm not a cowboy. But it sounds funny, but that's what I really thought. Religion tries to make you fit into a certain mold. And then they, again, my wife said, let's go to that church. I said, I don't want to be a cowboy. Hey, nothing wrong with cowboys. My dad's a cowboy. So I'm not saying anything disparaging. It's just that my point being is religion puts you, you've got to be like everybody else. And I said, I don't want to do that. See, it was religion always looks at some of the thing is the outward appearance. You know, clean up the cup on the outside. What's going on the inside? So the anointing on my life has not changed when I took off that eye and coat. You realize that, right? There might be one people saying, well, you know, I didn't think about that. Because of the way I was raised, you had to dress a certain way. You had to conform a certain way to be accepted by God. That's just religion. It's not our Father. He wants to know if you believe in the truth that Jesus was raised from the dead for your sins and my sins. Amen? That His Holy Spirit wants to work powerfully in you already if you'll let Him. Amen? Amen. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is at work, where? In you, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. Where's the Holy Spirit working in? In you, and then it comes out, right? Where people say, hey, there's a different look about you. There's a glow. There's a shine. You're not letting things in this world take you down or take you out. Amen? You have a certain boldness with His love. Declaring His truth. Declaring truth, we got to understand too. I think in a way we've gotten to this thing where we can't declare truth somehow that's, you know, that's being mean. No. Declaring the truth in love is important. How will they know if they're not, that they don't hear the truth? How will they hear? Many of you have had times where you've talked to people. I remember years ago where we knew a gal that was going to get it, was going to get an abortion, and when we talked to her about adoption and different things and God's love, not condemning, she had that baby and gave it up for adoption because she heard the truth. God bless that gal. I think of her constantly. And the truth of God forgiving and cleansing and healing anybody who's gone through that. I qualify that. Don't let anything in the past that you've done or thought about condemn you. If you know Jesus Christ, that He's forgiven you of that. He loves you. And anything else that you may still have in your closet, clean that closet out. Throw it in the Holy Spirit dumpster. Set a Holy Ghost fire to it. Let it burn. Burn, baby, burn. Ephesians 3:16-17. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. See, the Spirit being in you already. Sometimes we just got to activate those things, learn some truths. Sometimes we're at, and I'm not trying to be smart aleck or not being genuine. Sometimes we're waiting for something to come upon us as we talk of the Holy Spirit that's already in us that needs to be activated or by faith allow it to flow. Amen? And if we're not careful, then we start wanting these to have these things that'll happen to us. And we'll say, okay, God, I can only grow in you, or I'm only pleasing to you, or only things are going to change if I feel something from the outside. Sometimes if you just believe in the truth, it will change something for you to move on, to unlock what God has already given you in the Holy Spirit, His love for you, His anointing in you. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 3:16-17. I already read that. Ephesians, the next one. I think it's Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly. But how big is far more abundantly? I don't know. Far more abundantly. Far more abundantly. That sounds big. Really, doesn't it? Now Him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond. Then it goes beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. How within us? What's already in us? Activating the Spirit of God that's in you. Instead of saying, Lord, I need more. Now, I'm not saying God can't activate and give you more, but I think we're looking at the wrong place. We're waiting for an experience to happen to give us more, when really we just need to activate what we have within us already. Does that make sense? As we talk about the Holy Spirit, we got to be, as we lay this out, we got to know one thing. First and foremost, he's a revealer of truth. It's the truth that sets us free. Amen? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is beginning a deep work in the heart of his children. Saints, it's not about an experience. It's about fellowship and walking in truth. And you pursue that, those things that he wants to do that can be an experience in him will happen. What heals the heart is fellowship with the Holy Spirit and fellowship with one another in truth. I can't tell you how much God has done in my heart just through fellowship. Simple laughing, gut laugh, enjoying time with people, being normal, being a normal person. But religion says, no, you can't be normal. You got to have some kind of activity to allow the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of it. No, he's with me everywhere I go already. Amen? I like what Pastor Lee said. This is so true, and I think of it often. Don't be a thermometer in a room. Be a thermostat. You change what's going on there by what you carry already. What you carry already can make the difference, amen, in your home. I think God is doing a work where he's revealing truth. There's so many people out there that love the Lord. They're not a part of a body. They feel like that maybe we're not genuine. Or they feel like that they don't matter. Or that they don't fit in. Or that it's beyond God's repair. You know what? They just need to know his truth. If God's truth will be revealed in their hearts and lives, they'll come running back. They'll want to have fellowship with him. They'll be so glad to peel off the heavy burden of weight. If I could just measure up, if I just hadn't screwed up that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, yesterday, oh man, I could have fulfilled my call. I don't know, man, how many times I've heard people say, if I hadn't done this, I could have fulfilled my call. Believing a lie of the enemy. I'm not excusing sin or whatever, but you got to come running back to him. It's the truth that sets you free. Who you are already in him. How he loves you and I. It's the Spirit of truth. He longs to fellowship with us through the Holy Spirit. But the lie of the enemy is you don't measure up or you're not doing things right. Or you don't fit in or whatever, or looking at the past. And no, it's just that simple truth of God that will unlock in your heart that God can set you free. And walk in a brand new fellowship with him like it never happened before. Where you can hold your head high to anybody. You're not less than anybody. I don't care what your past is. When you realize the truth that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that he has forgiven you. Point two, the Holy Spirit work takes place within you. Three, I've already talked about a little bit, but some saints have been pursuing an experience. We can become addicted to focusing on an experience. Listen to me. I'll change or something will be revealed to me based upon an experience, and those things can happen. And I believe in dreams and visions, believe me. But you know what? It's God's timing is wonderful, because I mentioned this to the Wednesday night crowd last Wednesday. A couple weeks ago, I had a brother call me. Doesn't go here, so don't worry. And he was telling me about this guy he knows that had a vision of the Lord, Jesus. And it changed his life, and he started telling everybody about what he had seen and what God had done his Lord. I thought, and he said, that was awesome. And then he said, you know what? I would have faith if I could just have that type of vision. So wait a second. I said, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus says it's necessary for me to go so I can send the Comforter, so I can send your friend. I said, no, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to have a vision or a dream or any of those things to walk in his power. I said, see, he could believe a lie. He says, no, I've got to have that same vision and then think he's always missing out on something. No, the Spirit of God dwells in me. The Spirit of God is working mightily in me. And if he wants to give me a vision of Jesus, great. But I already see him through faith. I already know he's closer than a brother. Amen. I already know he's set me free. I already know he's changed my life. I already know he's leading and guiding me. Isn't that wonderful? I said, no, don't fall for a lie. I'm not saying what happened with that gentleman's not true. Because I said, but you have something in you already. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have all the power working mightily in you. We got to be careful that we don't pursue an experience to change our lives. It's the truth of God that changes your life. It's the truth of the gospel that changes your life. It's the power of the gospel that changes your life. And part of the gospel is I know he heals. Amen. Part of the gospel, I know he gives me wisdom and strength and deliverance. He provides all my needs according to his riches and glory. All those things I understand now simply by faith. I see them. I see them clearer and clearer. And as God reveals things and experiences in the Holy Spirit, that's great. But on Monday when I'm feeling blue, I don't have to have another experience. I'm walking by faith. I know who I am in my Father. I knew who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Even Paul said, what did Paul say? He says, man, we were at the point of death. But God showed us and brought us through that we would not rely on our own strength, but rely on him. He's had visions and dreams. But during that time, did he have any of that? No. He had to walk it out by faith. He had to know who he was already in Christ. You know, I remember one time me and Gina talking about experience. We were in a hotel room. I forget what we were down there for. And we were praying. And we were praying. And I was praying in tongues. And we'll get to that. People say, well, I was praying in tongues. I pray in tongues all the time. And I went to stop, and my spirit man said, keep going. I kept praying in tongues. I went to stop again. My spirit man said, don't stop. So I kept praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't a dream I saw, but an impression in my soul that I realized the kingdom of God is a whole different realm. It's not far above us. I realized there's a God on the throne. I didn't see anything, but there was an impression on my soul that his son Jesus is by his side, and that there was all these tens and hundreds of thousands of people around a throne room worshiping him. I perceived that other realm. And then I realized the realm that I am in walking with him is through the Holy Spirit. I'm not in heaven. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, but that's my connection in oneness with him through the Holy Spirit. And I realized when I saw that, I'll never forget it. It's even hard for me to explain it. But I realized, wow, Lord, yeah, I'm walking through the power of the Holy Spirit here. But I know there's another realm. I know that I'm going to be with him someday. I know that he's sitting on a throne that's high and lifted up. Amen. I know God reveals things to his people. But the foundation through the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. This has to be our truth. This has to be our compass. Experiences cannot be our compass, brothers and sisters. Visions cannot be our compass. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God being revealed in us and through us, that is it. You think about where Paul had that great revelation of grace. He didn't have a revelation through Jesus Christ. It was of Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. So he didn't have an angel or Jesus come down to him and said, hey, I want to reveal things to you. No, the anointing revealed the Old Testament. This is talking about this gospel of grace that I want to reveal to all mankind. Has God opened it up? You know, apostles and prophets, first and foremost, need to have a revelation of the gospel of grace. That's the foundation. Ephesians chapter 2 says the foundation of the gospel being apostles and prophets. They got to know the gospel. They got to understand the truths of the gospel first and foremost. That's apostles and prophets. What is the foundation? For by grace are you saved through faith. So anybody who will call themselves a prophet and they say that the foundation is not the Word of God, I don't want to be around. I've been there, done that, bought a t-shirt and a hat. I don't want any part of that again. But I know there's prophecy that's real. But I know that when you're just pursuing signs, that you can be deceived by lies. Many years ago, I had someone who gave me a prophetic word and said, you'll never be in front of people. Well, it affected me. It just affected me for several decades. So prophecy, as much as it can be good for you, can be damaging. And then 7 or 8 years ago, when we had leadership up here, and Darlene Nenny came up here, and she gave me a prophetic word that I'm walking in now. It was a true word of God. The true prophecy helped dissipate and destroy that false thing that had been given to me. We got to be careful. Prophecy is powerful. Prophecy can encourage people. But it's a powerful weapon because it can also mislead people if we're not careful. I think I'd mentioned me and Gina were in a church last week that was a prophet. We were there 5 or 6 years. And it grew and ballooned. And there was a lot of excitement. But the problem was the foundation was not the truth of the Word of God. The foundation was the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy. And although it was very exciting for a time frame, only truth comes to the top. Only truth will keep you anchored. Only truth will set you free. And so then it began to wane, and it began to wane to where when the last of it was in our little home, just a handful. It went from a couple hundred people to nobody. It didn't have the right foundation. You know, now I don't hold anything against anybody, but I sure learned a lot from that. It made me realize, man, a pastor who makes sure that the foundation is going to be the Word of God. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the latest craze is. I don't care what this and that. A pastor that say, hey, yeah, we want the Spirit of God moving in our midst, but the foundation is the Word of God, and we're not going to move off that. You can trust that, pastor. You're in a safe place. I appreciate pastors that do that. Do you love them? Amen. I love the truth of the Word of God. You know, it's what we have, everybody. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you, talking about walking in darkness, walking in sin, but you were washed. It says you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Did you know you're washed by the blood of the Lamb? Did you know it's the truth of what you know that you're free? It's what the Word of God says, where you grab by truth, you grab a hold of that truth, and you say, that's who I am. I don't care how I feel. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm going through, but by the power of God, I know these things. I'm washed. I may be struggling, but I'm washed. My mind be me going everywhere during the week, but I'm realizing I am justified by the blood of the Lamb. And as you walk in those truths with the power of the Holy Spirit, those things will begin to break off your life. Amen. So number 3 was that some saints have been pursuing an experience. Number 4, through the Holy Spirit, we need to be pursuing the truth in love. You know, we're in a time where we need the truth more than ever. You know, where is the truth? We talked about the Word of God. You know, I watched a video where there was a transgender gal in a track meet with women. I've heard about it, but I saw it on a YouTube video. So here's this man who's bigger, I can see he's bigger, stronger, taller than all the gals in this 1.5 miles, I think it was. I counted the laps. So they're running, and pretty soon it was like he kind of held back. And then the last 2 laps, he just started, by far, finished in first place. And they were saying she won. No, he won. And see, when you don't value the truth, people will start believing things like that. That there's nothing wrong with that. And people say, hey, you know, we believe in God. And you've got to be loving and kind. And I get that. No, what we need to do is adhere to the truth. In the beginning, he made them male and female. You know what? If they dig his body up in 1,000 years and do a DNA test, they're going to say, that's a dude. It's a guy. It's a man. Regardless of what you do with your plumbing, God made you a man or a woman. You could be struggling. I don't know everybody here. You could be struggling with same-sex attraction. But you know what the first step in getting free is believing the truth. The first thing is to believe in the truth. Me and Gina had a friend. He's a well-known business guy in Prescott Valley. I would never rat him out. I've said this before, but he said, hey, when I was junior high, I had the same-sex attraction. I married a woman, had homosexual affairs. My wife left me. Then I went through devastation. And he said, I just couldn't get the truth of the Word of God. So he started getting godly counseling. Years of godly counseling. Coming out of all these things he had done, allowing the truth of God to mend his heart. Then he eventually married this wonderful woman that helps him run his business, and they're still at it today. And he would tell you it was the power of God, but it was the truth. He had to believe truth first. If you don't believe truth, then there's no starting ground. That is where you start out in the race, the truth. If he hadn't believed the truth, I don't know what would have happened to him. He doesn't know what had happened. But he said, I believed in the truth of God. I came out of that darkness. Don't tell me that God can't change, bring you out of darkness. Don't tell me that you're hopelessly bound by some addiction. Don't tell me that you're helplessly bound by lust or lust of the mind. The Word of God, the truth of God through the Holy Spirit can and will set you free. But you got to want to be free. The wages of sin are death on you. Ever felt death? You ever struggled with something and it's just like death? And then you say, Lord, I need help. Whatever it is, Lord, I need help. But it's the first of saying, God, by your Holy Spirit, you're going to renew my mind, and the things that I'm struggling with now, I'm still accepted by you. You still love me. I'm still your child, and I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how long or whatever. This thing is not going to dominate me forever because I believe the truth. Amen. Do you love the truth today? The truth regarding transgenderism. You know, now they're trying to lie that pedophilia is okay. See, when you have a certain sector of a people in a nation or tribe or whatever, a society that don't believe in truth, man, the things that you will swallow is insane. To where they start out saying, hey, we don't want to call it pedophilia anymore. They put some little sweet name on it. But it's still a lie, it's still gross darkness. And it still destroys people's lives, and it'll destroy a society. But it starts like this. What it is, it's not. It starts out by not taking the truth seriously. So now the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that the Holy Spirit, let me say it again, reveals first and foremost in your and my life. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, how many of you continued in his word? Then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. Truth will set you free. 1 Corinthians 12:31 is, just understand this is the last verse of chapter 12. It says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and yet I'm going to show you a far better way. And it was his love. So as we move along and we start talking about his gifting and his power, first thing is it's walking in truth. What's it say that Moses gave the law, Jesus gave what? Grace and truth. It's not just grace, brothers and sisters. It's truth. Walking in his truth. It's his truth that sets us free. Amen. Allow the Word of God to penetrate deep. It sounds very quiet in here. But I'm believing God is exploding in people's lives. And the inside. We got to make sure we understand as God does things. And I love our worship. I love it when it feels like the roof is coming off this place. See, that's a result of people realizing their freedom. That's a result of people being set free from the lies of the enemy. That's understanding worship and just honoring him and blessing. I love that. But I also realize that when I'm speaking and I see somber faces, I know, I hope God's working. I hope people are chewing. I hope people are considering. Because I know the Holy Spirit in this hour is revealing truth. It's the truth that'll set us free. And after that, the experiences of God, we'd love them, but it will not be an experience that'll set you free. It is the truth of God that'll set you free. Amen. Gifts of the Spirit don't mean you're walking in total truth. There was a time where I prayed in tongues, pursued the gifts, and I was in total bondage. Me and my wife, we would try to find somebody that could pray for me deliverance. We go from somebody who had the ministry of deliverance, and went for that person, to that person, somebody that could pray over me and get rid of this devil or whatever I thought was tormenting me. And all that time, I just didn't know the truth of the grace of God. And when I realized the grace of God and it started unlocking, man, I was becoming freer and freer. Now, do I believe in deliverance? Yeah, there's times where you betcha. But for me, the lockdown, what kept me tight under wraps is I didn't know the truth. As I started to pursue this magic bullet, if they could just pray deliverance over me over and over and over again with no results. But when I started believing the truth of the gospel of grace, man, did I start getting free. Man, did I start growing in him. Boy, did the Holy... And mind you, during this time, man, I spoke in tongues. I believed that me and Gina would go to these things and try to, you know, just try to grow in him. And these great experiences happening, but the inner man of me was not changing. I was not becoming freer. It was the truth that I was missing. And when the truth of the gospel, what it really is, that I belong to him in the middle of all my struggles, that he will never leave me nor forsake me, that same Holy Spirit was in there, man, I started getting free as can be. Wow. And then when those experiences started, I started having in the Lord with not him, those are things of him just revealing his love, his power, who he was to me. It had nothing to do with freeing me. I was already free by the truth. But he just started revealing himself to me, unwrapping things, walking with joy and strength. And there was a time where I couldn't even go on vacation. I was in such bondage and torment. All I could do was work. The only safe place for me was work. Work, 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 work. And now I love that I can go on vacation and be just as, and not drive my wife completely nuts. I enjoy her company and she enjoys mine. It's awesome. As we start wrapping it up, because I'm not going to get where I want to. You know, it's interesting where we have preconceived ideas of what we want God to reveal to us or do. When we went to that pastor's conference, and people were saying, well, what did God show you? What did God show you? What did God show you? You know what he showed me? My number one ministry is my wife. That's what he showed me. That's what he showed me. I felt a little shame when people say, well, God, what did God show you? I sure love my wife. But yeah, okay, good. But what did he show you? Come on now. That my wife is my number one ministry. Okay, Chad, we get it. What did he show you? He surprised me when he showed me this is my number. This is the most important thing in my life. My number one goal, and it's very scriptural and very godly and much truth, my number one purpose in life is to make this gal happy. Amen? But if you know what we've been through, I mean, I haven't even told half the story. I'm so glad she stuck with me. I'm so glad she stuck with me. The most godly thing, if you're married here, is your mate. You decided that when you got married, that would be your number one ministry. to make that other person happy. That there's scripture Paul says, hey, if you wanna just focus on ministry, don't get married. Because your time's gonna be divided. You gotta make that gal happy. And it ain't always gonna be easy to do that. You're gonna need a lot of truth and wisdom. Amen. Are you still with me today? Isn't the word of God awesome and powerful, delivering? It sets the captive free. Let's continue. So that point four was, through the Holy Spirit, we need to be pursuing the truth in love. Number five, we need to know His voice. Do you know His voice? And it comes as we pursue truth. You know, I think of things of, Lord, I want to love people like You love people. That was the basis and the foundation of this church, was loving whoever walked through the doors. The foot of the cross is level. There ain't no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. Religion places hierarchy of importance. But God loves the least of people, the precious in His sight. The person that seems like they have nothing. This is my heart because of this church. The people that would seem to have nothing to offer to this church, I want them by the hundreds if we could have them. That have absolutely nothing to offer us but brokenness. Those type of people. If we pursue and love those type of people, are not ashamed of those type of people, God will bring us what we need otherwise. They're broken. That's who was coming to Jesus. Amen? Think of the people, what they look like that were walking with Jesus when He was on this earth. Amen? And they were the least cared for in society. Loving people. Lord, I want to love people like You love people. Lord, I want to be the husband we talked about that You want me to be. Lord, if you're a single gal here, Lord, I'm not going to compromise my morals for any schmuck guy. Amen? If you're single here, you are precious in His sight. He loves you dearly. And do not fall for wolves in sheep's clothing. Somebody with a lot of charisma. I don't care if they speak in tongues. I don't care if they have miracles or whatever. If they try to get you in the sack before you're married, tell them bye. That's for free. That's truth. I said, that's truth. That is truth. The truth comes before any charismatic or charisma on a person. It's the truth that we need. I love this verse here, John 10:27-29. My sheep listen to My voice, and I know them. This is Jesus said, I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life. Who has eternal life here? You remember the scripture where we started out, where He says, what's eternal life? You may know Him. Remember that? This is the eternal life, that you may know Him. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. Hearing His voice, knowing You, and nobody can take you out of His hand. Out of His hands. I saw this video that was so cool. And it was the scenery was this green grass. I don't know where it was, maybe in Ireland or somewhere it looked like, but it had a topography where it had like a 2 or 3%, you know, up in grade. Can't think of what I'm saying. So it was going uphill a little bit. And then it was all foggy. So you couldn't see the grade is that it increased. You couldn't see it. You could see all this green grass, and you could see about 50 yards ahead of him, and then it became misty. This old guy started calling. And it just a minute or two, then you could see coming out of that mist, running sheep, running towards him. The sheep just running towards this guy, coming up to him and jumping on him, and all this stuff, and those sheep knew His voice. See, I don't know how far out they were, and I couldn't see them. And sometimes in this world, it seems very misty, but I know that if I hear His voice, that's where I'm going. I'm going to follow Him. And it's in the truth of God that I hear His voice. It's through the Word of God, first and foremost, that I know His voice. And after that, any visions or dreams or things that the Holy Spirit does, it's going to have to line up, and it's not going to supersede the Word of God. God can reveal things. God can do things. God can give us awesome experiences in the Holy Ghost, because when the Holy Ghost is in the room, you can't help but have some kind of something happen. But even in the times when it's not happening, the truth of the Word of God is prevailing and in my life, and it directs me what voice I'm listening to. So in the midst of this world, as I hear that, I'm running towards the Father. I couldn't believe it. It was just awesome as I saw that. Just running towards Him. Took a few minutes. I don't know how far up there, out there. You couldn't see. It was foggy. All of a sudden, man, they were just bailing for Him. See, our nourishment, our strength, our deliverance is in following Him and His voice. See, He knows our needs. He knows our struggles. But He still, even in that, know this. This is the truth. He wants you to hear His voice. He does not want you giving up. He does not want you being discouraged. Just follow His voice through the Word of God. Start asking the Lord, Lord, I want to hear Your, I want to understand that still small voice. Another thing that I'll tell myself, when we first came here to this church and we were with a group of people and I felt like I wanted to prophesy over somebody, and the Lord stopped me and said, that ain't me. I want to teach you, Chad. That is you. And it taught me a lesson. I'm so glad that I heard that small voice. And since then, can I prophesy over people, get people to work? Yes. But I've learned to learn when it's His voice and when it's just my flesh. See, I had been in a church for 5 or 6 years where a lot of that prophecy was not the voice of God. It was a voice of man. So I had some of that residual in me. But God loves me so much. He's so kind that He said, stop. Yep, you're going to prophesy over people, but it's not going to be this, because this isn't me. That's okay. I learned. Thank God for that. Because what's interesting, a couple years after that, with that same group of people, which was Pastor Lee's mom and dad, we had a time of prayer, and a powerful Word of God came forth. And there was no doubt that it was God. It was powerful. So even in that, God showed me and redeemed me and allowed me to be a blessing to that great brother and sister in Christ. Amen. It was awesome. We'll never forget it, will we, Hunt? And Tom and Wanda will never forget it. When I talk to them, they still tell me about it, Pastor Lee. A true Word of God came forth that day. An enduring truth. And His presence, it was just amazing. I just realized, well, anyway, we're going to move on. My sheep listen to my voice. And the first thing is, it's on the foundation of the Word of God. Amen. Do you love Him today? Let me add number 6. Do you love the truth of the, this is the last one, it's in the form of a question. Do you love the truth of the gospel? Matthew 11, 28 and 29 say this. Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Let me tell you, he wants you to walk in His rest. He wants you to walk in His He wants you to be comfortable in your own skin. Did you know that He wants you to be comfortable in your own skin? And it starts by believing the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how He loves you and I. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you believe He's God. What you need to do is say, Lord, we're in a day and an hour. Start revealing the truth of the Word of God. And as you pursue the truth in the Word of God, He'll be the one to bring the experiences. Don't pursue the experiences. Pursue Him and His knowledge, infinite wisdom. He's the one that will release those things of God. Let's pursue truth. Let's pursue Him. And then let's see what the Holy Spirit's going to do in this nation and in His body. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know one thing. I'm not going to make something happen. But I want to be wise enough and enough wisdom and truth in me to know when it is God. Let God do His thing. Here's the thing. Know this. Say, Lord, I want to know the truth. I mean, first and first, he loves you. If you carry any condemnation of your past, says, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me of my past. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions. If you've experienced iniquity or somebody else has harmed you and afflicted you, forgive them. I'm not saying you let them back in your life, but saying, Lord, I'm going to forgive them. Lord, heal my heart with the truth of the God. Lord, I choose to forgive them. Lord, I choose to let that go. Lord, I choose to let those things in the past that let go. There's been circumstances in my life where I've been able to forgive people that actually they had done some good things in my life, other things that were wounding to me, old anymore. I'm able to glean the good things that can happen with a parent or lack of a parent or something like that. You can glean and have the truth of the good things they taught you, but have the hurt healed. As the worship team comes, can we stand up together? Do you love him today? I said, do you love him today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, after we let the service out, I would love to pray with you. There'll be others up here. If you need someone to agree with you in prayer, just saying, Lord, I want to walk in truth. I want my steps to be based upon pursuing the truth, because the truth that sets me free. And then, Lord, the other things that are going to follow, the experiences, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit some more. We're going to go deeper. But the first thing is, Father, my first pursuit in this church's first pursuit is truth through the Word of God. Amen. And then God will begin to do things. God could be healing you today some things or changing some things that weren't truth, that maybe you were pursuing that weren't truth, and saying, God, here's repentance. I'm going this way. It can be tears, or it could be just saying, Lord, I realize I need to change a direction, and I choose to do that. And that's every bit as godly and holy repentance than anybody coming up here in weeping, although I'm not opposed to that. I'm not saying that. Repentance is not just some experience. It's a decision. You love him today? If you feel comfortable, can you hold your hands out and say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Lord, I'm humble enough to say, Lord, if there's things I need to change in my belief system, Father God, right now in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm receiving truth in the inner man in Jesus' name, Father. I realize it's the truth that sets me free. Lord, areas where there needs to be a changing, Lord, maybe I've swallowed some lies to the enemy, or Lord, I've been waiting for some experience in you to let me know that you love me. I'm telling you, he loves you because the word declares that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for a revelation of the truth of God, of who we are in him in Jesus' name. Father, you would change us. You that carry sorrow, let that go and say, I will not carry this sorrow anymore. God has forgiven me in Jesus' name. And let the power of the Holy Spirit direct and lead your life. Let that go in Jesus' name. He has forgiven you. Don't beat yourself up in your struggles. Just say, Lord, help me, strengthen me, renew my mind. Lord, reveal the word of God in my life, Father God. Touch me, Father God. I still believe in you. Do not let the enemy tell you that you're not accepted by him. He loves you. If you've accepted me, I'm telling you, if he's your Savior, he has accepted you. You are pure in his sight. He loves you, daughter, in Jesus' name. I said, daughter, he loves you. You're precious in his sight. You're precious in his sight. He wants to lead and guide you. His voice, learn to hear the voice of him. His voice is not condemnation. His voice does not say you haven't done enough. The beginning of the truth is it's only the blood that washes your sins away. It's only the blood of Jesus that washes your sin away. And they say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, I want your Holy Spirit in every degree, Lord, that is available to me. Father God, fill me up to overflowing. Because the Word of God says that it's the Spirit of God that works mightily in us. He wants to reveal more to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He doesn't want you walking in sorrow. He doesn't want you walking in unforgiveness. He doesn't want you walking in anger. Make a decision to let those things go. Do not wait for an experience. Make a decision. Say, God, I'm letting them go. I'm going to walk in my faith. And your power, the Word of God, is delivering me as I walk these things out. And then those experiences in you will come in the least expected time. In a hotel room, just saying a simple prayer. And God saying, no, keep praying. No, keep praying. And then God giving me an experience I was not asking for that's dear to me. But at first it says, I'm going to pursue truth, Lord, of who I am in you. Father, how we love you. Thank you, Father, for breaking the voice of the enemy. Every area where there's a lie of the enemy that just keeps his recorder, keeps you back. Allow him to love on you. I said, allow him to love on you. Allow him to love you. He loves you. I don't care who has or hasn't loved you or what you've done or not done. Allow him to love on you. He loves you. God is love. The last scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about spiritual gifts, but he says, let me show you a far more greater way. In the next chapter, it goes into love. Love keeps no record of wrong. I said, love keeps no record of wrong. Amen. I could just keep going. I'm not going to. Amen. Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Just take a second. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Lord, we honor you. We worship you. Lord, I know you're changing hearts right now. In Jesus' name, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for the deliverance of truth in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for bathing us in your love. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you for washing us, Father God, from the water of the Word. The Word that's gone forth today is washing you if you allow it to. Let the water of the Word wash you in Jesus' name. Let the truth of God wash you in Jesus' name. Let the truth of God lead you in truth. Be saying, Lord, reveal your truth to me. That's what the church needs today. Father, we thank you for fresh moving of your Spirit. Lord, we're open to it. We want everything you have for us. Lord, we want everything you have for us. Lord, we're tired of the old dry wine and the old dry wineskins, Lord. The Spirit of God moving in this day and hour is going to look different. Don't have preconceived ideals about what a move of God looks like. The Lord says, "This I'm doing a new thing." But he's tearing up and pulling out right now. He's planning new things, but he's pulling some old things out in our lives so he can put a new foundation, so he can plant and build. And Father, we thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You love him today.